Hi everyone, listen to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 186 for August 21st, 2011. In this week's podcast, our guest speaker, Pastor Chuck Coy, will be sharing his message titled, The Genesis Principles. Enjoy.
Good morning. Praise the Lord for Pastor Chuck again. He is here visiting us for this morning and for the graduation. So let's give him a wonderful Chicago welcome. It's a relief from Oklahoma City, which is what, 100 degrees?
Over 100 degrees.
Over 100 degrees. Well, praise God. All right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. It's always a joy to be back with Faith Family Worship Center here in the Windy City of Chicago. I told Pastor last night, I walked out from the hotel to go down and get something to eat, and I only had about maybe 4 or 5 blocks to walk. And by the time I got down to the restaurant, my clothes were soaking wet with sweat. It's the humidity here is higher than it is down in Oklahoma, but the temperature is higher in Oklahoma. We had over 5.5 weeks of over 100 degrees, and we had a few days where the heat index got up to over 118 degrees. So you can imagine it was just a hot box. They had a lot of people that were going to the hospital with heat-related problems, but again, thank God that He's a good God and He's bringing the rain. The physical rain and the latter rain. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, open your Bibles with me this morning. Just for a moment, I'd like to exhort. I'm very excited about what God is doing. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 13, 14, and 15 in just a second here. When we were having praise and worship earlier, I was so excited by the second praise song. Our worship leader, she kicked off her shoes, and then Pastor took off his coat, and boy, we had a good praise and worship. Aren't you glad for good praise and worship? Hallelujah. We have reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. The Bible says that this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is not just a regular Sunday today. Thank God for our regular Sundays. Every Sunday is a Sabbath. Every Sunday is the day that we come, and as Greg said, to worship and to hear the Word of God and to bring our tithes and offerings. That should be an exciting time for us. We should look forward to Sundays. We should look forward to writing the check for our tithes and offerings. We should look forward to going into our purse and into our wallet. We should look forward to bring that gift to the house of God. Amen? God wants us to be excited and then to praise Him and worship Him and thank Him. We have so much to be thankful for. Every one of us here have so much to be thankful for. Roger whispered to me a while ago, Brother Roger, and he said, every time I see you, I think of what you said when you spoke Psalms 118 and verse, what is it, Rog? 17 over me. The Lord said, I should have been dead, yet I'm alive to tell about the goodness of God. Amen. I was telling Pastor earlier that my dad, Dennis Coy Sr., he's almost 70. I think he's 68 now. He's a little younger than our pastor, I think, by 1 year. Still young. He had a triple bypass 12 years ago. That was when they still cut him open and broke the ribs back and went in physically. Now they don't do that anymore, I guess. They just do a thing up through your leg and a microscope, and then they put little plumbing in. Plumbing into the arteries. And last week he had like a fluttering or something, and he wasn't comfortable with it, so he went into the ER, and they did the exam on him. They had to put in 2 stents. One artery was 91% blocked, the other one 99% blocked, and the doctor said, good you came in, because if you wouldn't have come in, you'd probably be dead. And so I just talked to my dad earlier. He sends his love and greetings to Pastor Archie and Lolette in the church here. wishes that he could be with you, but he said, praise God, I have another extension on life. Hallelujah. Now, we're here today, and all of us have another day of breath to breathe, another day of living for God. So we should be, if there's any place in our entire week that we should be excited and full of joy and glad, it should be in the house of God. Amen? Amen. Can I see those big Filipino smiles and American smiles and any other smiles that we have here today? Amen. Okay, glory to God. Romans 10 and verse 13, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Hallelujah. And then it goes on and says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Listen, every one of us in the church are either goers or senders. Every person in the church should be a goer or a sender. Now, thank God we have another 10 laborers that have been being trained in the Bible school. They'll graduate this afternoon. How many candidates for graduation do we have here today? Raise your hand. All 10 of them should be here. Hallelujah. Let's give them a hand. Praise the Lord. Last year we had how many graduate, Sister Lilith? 20? 23? Oh, I have to check with Jenny. She's probably got the numbers. Pastor and Sister Lilith are giving me different numbers. You know how it is when you get a little younger. I've experienced that only a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have short-term or long-term loss of memory. But last year we had over 20 graduates. We're going to have another 10. So that means we have 30 trained and equipped laborers in the church. And there are others as well. But thank God for those 30. They're an answer to prayer. Amen. How many alumni do we have of the Bible school here today? Okay, alumni, don't be shy. Raise your hand. Let's give the alumni a hand. Hallelujah. You know, it's not easy to give up a year of your life and coming and being trained and the cost and the time and the money and the prayers and the challenges that it takes. But I tell you what, Bible school training is never a waste of time. It's never the wrong thing to do. It's always the right, because it's just going to equip you to be that much more of a goer or a sender. Amen. Amen. And so I've given the ushers our new missions brochure, and also there's a postcard in there, and then there's the top one is the missions brochure, Dennis, and then the lower ones are the postcard, and then there's some purple and some other colored papers there that are fruit of a trip to the Philippines and Hong Kong just a number of months back. And then another one in there is fruit of the ministry. I think it pictures in 7 or 8 different nations. Right now, I've got opportunity to go to Nicaragua to preach in an evangelistic campaign and see thousands born again. I'll be going back to the Middle East anytime, back to Israel to do discipleship training in the churches there that we're a part of, planning a trip this winter back to the Philippines and probably to Hong Kong again, Project Agape's, Bible school graduations, many various other ministries. Everyone is a goer or a sender. All of us have that responsibility to either be going ourselves or sending. I was so tickled earlier. I was standing downstairs talking with Brother Tony, and it just blessed my heart so much, because he was telling me about, you know, back in his early days, you know, because he's from Manila and was involved with the police down there for years and a part of the narcotics team down there. And he was telling me when he was dispatched up to the north, up to the Cordillera, he said, Pastor Chuck, I didn't like it. He said, it was really weird for me. I mean, they take the chickens and the ducks, and they killing me softly, we call it. And then they put them, feathers and all, on the fire, and they burn the feathers off, and the smell is a little bit different if you're not used to it. It smells like burnt hair. And then they'll take it, and then they'll make pinikpikan. Pinikpikan, to me, is very delicious. Mas masarap. Naimas. I like pinikpikin. My wife is from that part of the country, and I like the pinikpikin and all of the different northern dishes. It's very nice for me. But Tony's telling me, he said, it was very challenging for me. It was very hard for me. I had to make barter. I had to make trade so they would fix it, you know, roasted, a way that I could take it in a little easier. And I said, oh, Tony, you're just a city slicker. That's why. And so now he was Manila boy. Now he's Chicago boy. But he said something to me that blessed me so much. He said, one day I'll go back up to the north as a missionary and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So everybody is a goer or a sender. Matter of fact, I feel I need to do this. I'm going to say this publicly in front of the church. But my next trip back to the Philippines, I mean, any of you are more than welcome to go with me anytime. I've told Pastor and Sister Lolette, come on, let's go. We'll help send. But you're all welcome to go anytime. But I'm going to just speak this now. Ched, you pray about. It'll be probably February. I'll probably be there about 5 to 7 weeks. You could come for 2 weeks or the whole time. Pray about it. I want you to go with me in February. Hallelujah. But again, I say this now because we're all goers and senders. So Dennis is in the aisle. Ushers are in the aisle. Please raise your hand if you'd like a ministry brochure or the postcard. The postcard, you can put it up on your refrigerator and see a picture of Sister Lisa and I. And you can pray for us every time you see us. And you're reminded as we're out ministering in the nations. We're goers. Yes, we help send people too, but we're goers. And we go and we preach the gospel. And if you would like and you're interested in becoming a partner, now, Pastor and Sister Lolette and the church as a whole have been partners with our missions ministry for how many years, Pastor? Maybe 15, 16, 17, 18, quite some time. For many years have been partnered, but we're also believing God for individual partners that you may, at this point, you may be sitting here and you're saying, Pastor Chuck, I'm not really a goer. And I'm not really a sender. Well, you can make that change right now. You can become a sender or you can become a goer. Now, those of you that believe you may be goers someday, how many potential goers do we have here that may go someday like Brother Tony? You especially need to be sending now. Because if you want to be a goer, you first need to be a sender because the law of seed time and harvest. If you want people to help send you later on, then you help send others now. And so, and I'll say this, that many of you, how many of the students that are going to graduate this afternoon, you're planning a trip back to the Philippines in the next few months or by Christmas? How many of you are planning a trip back? How many of you that are here today are planning to go back in the next few months back home to the Philippines for a visit? Anybody? Okay, one brother there. Anybody else? There's another one right there. Okay. Now, let me say this to all of you. Every one of you that go home, especially if you've been trained in the Bible school, every time you go home, you don't just go home to see family. You don't just go home for a vacation back home to the Philippines. You go home to share the goodness of God. You go home to preach the gospel. You go home to witness to your relatives. You go home to plant the seed of what God has put in you. Yes. And in that way, you're a goer. And you're going back to the Philippines to do missions work. Amen. So if you're here today and you would like one of the brochures about the mission or one of the fruits of the ministry or a postcard, just raise your hand. You can get one of those right now. Now, let me say this. If you receive one of those, we are getting ready to start officially launch our electronic newsletter. Hallelujah. We're catching up with the times. Electronic newsletter. Now, if you put your... On the brochure, there's a white card on the inside of it that says name, address, email address. It's basic information for our database. And if you'll fill that out today, give it back to an usher, they'll give it to me, and I'll add you into our our database that anytime the electronic newsletter goes out, you will get one. Everybody understand? If you'd like to be on our mailing list for an electronic newsletter, make sure that you, and if you don't fill out the brochure and you say, wow, next week I should have got one of Pastor Chuck's little information. Well, if you got the postcard or any other, the website is there. You can go up to the website and you can give us your information on the website. You can also follow our blog. We're getting good, Brother Chad. I mean, we're doing blog. We're updating. Sister Lisa's updating blog, putting new pictures up. Last week, my whole family and I were in Fire for the Nations. We had about 60 missionaries for a whole week from all around the world. And I think she's posting actually this weekend the update on the blog about Fire for the Nations. And then the following week, in the next few days, Sister Lisa will post Brother Chuck being with Pastor Archie and Sister Lolita and their second graduation. There'll be some pictures with a short little, it's amazing technology. And then those of you that are partners in that way, you'll get that information. You go to the website, you can see the updates on the blog. You can also receive the electronic newsletter. Now, if you want to be a sender of our missions organization, then there's a place down at the bottom that says make your checks payable to Agape World Missions. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this today. You and your husband, your family, you pray about this. And if God puts it on your heart, then if you start donating to send us to do missions work, then you go into our database where you receive everything that our ministry mails out to our missions partners. And our missions partners, we mail out ministry books and other materials as the Lord stirs us up. I'm a firm believer when God blesses me with something, whether it's a book or a revelation or something, I have to get that to my partners. I have to get that to the people that we're joining together to do this together, because it's important that we're on the same page in that way. And so if you're supporting us financially, then you go into the database and you receive all of our mail outs, everything that we do, and it's a blessing for you. Amen? Amen. Partnership is two-way, but everybody is a goer or a sender. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a goer or are you a sender? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All of us are goers and senders. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's open our Bibles this morning for our Sunday morning message. Very, very excited again about the goodness of God and what He's doing. And let's look here this morning in Genesis 1 and verse 31. Genesis 1 and verse 31. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your word. We approach it with reverence and honor. We approach Your word with respect, and we thank You for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which destroys the yoke of bondage, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which opens our minds and our hearts to receive the truth that'll set us free, the truth that'll help us to grow spiritually, the truth that convicts us, the truth that will help us to be a blessing, that we're blessed to be a blessing, Lord. That each and every one within the sound of my voice, Father God, You've declared them to be vessels of honor, meet for the Master's use, that You can channel Your goodness and loving kindness to them to flow it through them. And so, Father, we thank You that this message will stir us up this morning, we'll be encouraged and we'll be challenged. We receive it in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage of Scripture in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. Turn to your neighbor and say, whatever God does, it's good. Amen. Whatever God does, it's good. Back then in Genesis, when He was creating everything He created, it was good. Matter of fact, everything that God made, everything that God created, it was actually without flaw. It was actually without sin. It was perfect in the beginning. But there's something, and some of you may have heard me say this before, but it's well worth repeating. But during that time when God was creating the heavens and the earth and everything that is in the earth today, during that time, he had one thing on his mind. I said he had one thing on his mind when he created the light. Remember in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness laid upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He had one thing on his mind when he created the light, when he created the oceans, when he created the seas, when he created the South China Sea and the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean as we know them today, and all the fish therein, and all the birds of the air, and all the animals, the lions, the tigers, and bears. He had one thing on his mind. He was thinking about one thing. He was thinking about one thing when he made this world, this place that we call planet Earth. See, God's the creator of Earth. It wasn't just by coincidence or a big bomb explosion. There's no theory of evolution. I'm sorry if you're here today, I don't mean to bust your bubble. But if there was evolution, then why aren't chimpanzees turning into people today? I mean, some people might look like chimpanzees. No, I'm just joking. Forgive me, Lord, I shouldn't say that. My wife said, I'm hairy like a chimpanzee. Not here, but everywhere else I'm very hairy. She said, you're like a monkey. I said, well, your nose is a little bit... Stop it. We have to laugh sometimes. But listen, God created the earth. All of the splendid wonder that we have today when we step out on our balcony or we look out our window and we see the sunset with the amazing colors of blues and reds and purples and just all of the different things that we see in the sky and the oceans and anything that we would consider as beautiful, and it ministers to us, and it's so refreshing to know that there was an architect, the great architect, that had a master plan. And when he was creating that sunset, and he was creating that after, you know, Noah and Noah's story and the ark, and God told him that I'll put as a sign in the sky a rainbow. How many of you have ever seen a rainbow? A rainbow is beautiful. Yes. Maganda. Mapintas. Rainbows, the colors and just the way. A double rainbow. I've seen triple rainbows. I know a missionary in the Philippines that saw a rainbow on Boracay Island at 2:00 in the morning across the sky. And he said, Lord, I'm confused because it takes rain and daylight to make a rainbow. And God said, don't be confused. I'm the architect. I'm the God that makes these things, and I can do this, whether it's dark or whether it's day. And he said, I've put it in the sky just for you to minister to you as a sign and wonder. Amen. There'll be signs and wonders, but God had one thing on his mind. What was it, my sister asked? She is wanting to know. Does anybody else want to know? What was it that God was thinking about? See, I'm priming the pump. That's right, Sister Lolette. Sister Lolette has the answer. She said, me. God was thinking about you and me the whole time in creation because he loved us so much, and creation has been made for you. Everything about creation was made for you because you were on the mind and the heart of God at the very beginning. Is that all? That's a lot. That's amazing. Think about it, how much God loves us. Think about how much God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us much more than what we realize. Hallelujah. Everything was good. God never created anything that was bad or evil in its original state. God wanted everything to be good for man before he created him. He wanted man to enjoy his life upon the earth. Think about it, guys, gals, ladies and gentlemen, babae lalaki. Think about it. Everything that God made, he made it for you and I. Now, if you're a husband, isn't it one of your greatest desires to provide a nice place for your wife and for your kids to live? Isn't it one of your greatest desires to provide good food and an education for your children and maybe life insurance or medical insurance? Isn't it as a husband or a father? I'm talking about a good husband, a good father. Now, some men don't care. But thank God none of those men are here today. But isn't it so that if you're a husband, you're a father, or you're a lolo, you want your kids and your grandkids to be blessed. Is that not right? That's right. We want our families to be blessed. Why? Because we love our families. We want them to enjoy their life. We want them to enjoy their dwelling place. We want them to enjoy good adobo and lechon kawali. We want them, you can see I've ate lechon kawali before. Listen, if we as physical men that are fathers and that are husband and grandfathers, it's ingrained in us, it's in our nature to want to have a nice home and a nice place and nice provision and nice blessing for our wives and for our children. How much more our Heavenly Father desired for us to have a beautiful place with everything there, everything provided for. Yes, God had one thing on his mind, and it was you and I. In that time of creation, God was thinking about his family. He was thinking about his family. Now, many of you can identify with this. You left the Philippines to go to Saudi or Hong Kong or some other country to work. Why? Apay, bakit? Why did you go overseas and leave your husband or your wife and your kids back home in the Philippines? Why did you do it? So you could send them money for their home, for their food, for their education. Yes?
Yes.
How many of you have done that before? Mm-hmm. Why did you do it? Because you love your family. God loves his family. He loves us so much. He just wants us to believe and receive that love that he has for us. And when we do, we will begin to walk in blessings that we couldn't have even fathomed before. Hallelujah. Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy 6:17. He said, God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The Bible says that every good gift comes from above. Anything that's good, anything that's a blessing, it's come from God. Hallelujah. And you are blessed to be a blessing. But listen, too many people are going around looking at the blessing, looking at the blessing, looking at the blessing. No, look at the blesser. Yes, you can enjoy the blessing. Partake of it. Be glad that God has provided it. But don't get too focused on the blessing to the point where you take your eyes off of the blesser. Don't take your eyes off the blesser. Don't take your eyes off of the one that loves you more than anybody in the universe could love you. He loves you so much. I said, he loves you so much. Even when I've messed up and fallen on my face, even when I've done the wrong thing, God still loves me. His love is unconditional. His love is not, well, if you do this, I'll show you my love. Hello? Or if you can act like this, then I'll give you some love. No, his love is unconditional. And God wants us to have that unconditional love to him and toward each other. To our husband, to our wives, Asawa, Obing, Anak, our children, to our neighbors. God wants us to love them unconditional. Wow. That's amazing. It's amazing when we think about God's great love for us. So God has given us richly all things to enjoy. It has never been God's intent that man live in sickness or poverty or lack. That was never in God's creation. That was never in the plan of God's creation. That never has entered God's mind that his children would live in sickness and poverty. Think about it as a parent. Do you think about, do you long for, do you desire for your kids to be sick and poor and broke and have nothing? That doesn't even enter your mind as a physical parent. It definitely would not enter the mind of God. God only wants the best for his family. I said God only wants the best for his family, just as we want the best for our family. How much more our Heavenly Father wants the best for us. Hallelujah. Divine health and abundance was in the plan of God. It was in the will of God, and it's still in his will today. Let me say that again. Divine health and abundance was in the will of God and in the plan of God, and it's still in God's will today because he doesn't change yesterday, today, or forever. If he wanted us healthy and prosperous back at creation, he wants us healthy and prosperous today. When you and I live lives of obedience to God and to his word, it will lead us to God's intention for our lives, prosperity, health, and victory. That's God's intention. That's God's ultimate plan for us. Prosperity, health, and victory. Why does God want us so prosperous and health and victorious? Well, first of all, because we're his family, and secondly, he doesn't want to send missionaries and laborers out of the church that are poor and sick to go talk to your neighbor or go overseas. I know missionaries that are overseas right now, and they're dirt poor. They're struggling. I used to be one of them. But I'm not now. Amen. Now I'm an ambassador. Hallelujah. Have a home. Drive a nice vehicle. Wear nice barongs. I told Pastor he looked so pogey earlier in his nice suit when he picked me up. And he said, oh, Pastor Chuck, you look more pogey. He said, you should have told me you're wearing barong Tagalog. But I have my suit for this afternoon's graduation. But I've got very nice barongs also. Matter of fact, last time back in the Philippines, my beloved mother-in-law, hallelujah, she bought me a very beautiful, you know, the expensive, I mean a 3,500 peso barong, and it has a mural on the front of it of an Igorot tribe and the village. And I got to wear it last week for our Fire for the Nations, holding and marching with the Filipino flag. I told you before, I may be American by choice. I may be American by birth, but I'm Filipino by choice. And you could see I had my best barong on, holding the American flag. Sister Lisa walked. She had a beautiful outfit from Israel, and she was marching with the Israeli flag. And the children had other flags. We have a big, in that Fire for the Nations, all the missionaries, we have a big parade of flags. And I think there were 60 countries that were represented. Very special time. I got a message this afternoon for the graduates. Ooh, I can't wait to get there. But this message is good for us now. Amen? So as we study the book of instruction continually, this is Joshua 1:8. We meditate on it day and night, so we'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. So this promise, this blessing that God wants to flow in our lives, there is a condition. I said there's a condition. There are certain times where we bless our children when they do well because we want to reward them. And there are other times where we hold back the blessing because they're living in disobedience and they're not doing well. Listen, the condition for us to walk in the blessings of God and have that prosperity and have that health and have that success. You know what success is? Success is not just how much money and how big of a house and what kind of car you drive, what kind of career you have. Now, thank God that in the world's terms and definition of success, that's what that does mean. But God's definition of success is simply doing His will. That's what success is. You're successful when you do the will of God. What is in the will of God? Obedience. It's the underlining theme of the entire Bible. Obedience. You find it from Genesis all the way to the maps. The maps are the last thing in your Bible. Some of you remember that it's Revelation. Well, if you've got a big Bible, after Revelation, there are maps. We say from the beginning to the end. Well, yes, Revelation is the last book, but the end of your Bible is maps. Map of Israel. And so, obedience is the condition. What is obedience? Doing what God tells you to do. Following the word. Being not just a hearer of the word, but what? A doer. I think we have some Bible school students. A doer of the word. Not just a hearer, but a doer of the word. Amen. One of the primary purposes for the book of Genesis is to establish God's fundamental laws for victorious living. That was one of the main things that God laid out in His plan in Genesis, is so we could have victorious living. Amen. This book of origin gives the account of God being the creator of all things. God created the physical world we live in, and He also created all the laws and principles that govern our lives. The Apostle Paul adds his agreement to this fact by writing in Colossians 1:16, "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through Him and for Him." Hallelujah. And so in this very first chapter of Genesis, there are three very distinct principles. These three principles were released into the earth, establishing God's governing system for our lives. You will never experience God's plan for your life apart from appropriating these three spiritual laws. And we find them in Genesis 1:26-29. I want you to get this because this is very, very important. These are three principles, three things, three spiritual laws that God established in the beginning for us to have a successful life. For us to live in the perfect will of God, in the perfect plan and the wonderful harmony. God's design for us is so amazingly wonderful that we can have heaven on earth. I've heard recently a senior minister, I'd never heard this before, And I think our sister doing the exhortation this morning had mentioned something about it, but oh, let not your heart be troubled. And then it goes on and it says, Jesus was talking, he said, for in my Father's house were many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I'm at. You know how we've always been told about the streets of gold in heaven, and there are streets of gold in heaven. And we've always been told about, oh, you have a mansion on the other side. We sing songs about it. We sing songs. How many of you look forward to your mansion in heaven? Amen. But this senior minister, yes, God wants us to live well here on earth. But listen, this senior minister said something to me that really struck me. And I'm like, I never seen that. Look at that passage of scripture again. It said, let not your hearts be troubled, for in my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go to prepare a place for you. Everybody say a place.
A place.
A place. A place. Okay, a place. There's good places, there's bad places. There's big places, there's little places. There's comfortable places, there's uncomfortable places. Now, heaven, we know everything is good. Whatever place it is in heaven, it's good. But he said, for in my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go to prepare a place. This senior minister, he's about 80 years old. And he said, some will have mansions and some will have places. And I'm thinking to myself, ooh, I'd rather have a mansion than a place. How do we distinguish who gets the mansions and who gets the places? Well, come back this afternoon for the graduation. And we're going to see it even more. But bottom line is obeying and doing what God's called you to do. Here, this time, in this life, on this earth, and living to your fullest in God's plan, and fulfilling your call and your destiny, you'll have one of those mansions. But if you just cruise along in this life, not doing anything for God, not being a goer, not being a sender, not doing anything to help preach the gospel, minister the word to people, get people's lives changed, just enjoying all the coming and warming the pew, and that's all you do. See, I'm a poet and didn't know it. Come and warming a pew, and that's all you do. Now, thank God there's none of you that just come to warm a pew, and that's all you do. No, there's more that God wants us to do. Amen. But you can have a mansion, or you can have a place. I just added that, and that's a bonus this morning. Genesis 1, 26 to 29. The Genesis principles. The Genesis principles. I guess if we wanted to put a title on this message, those of you that are watching at home by satellite or by video or by television podcast, we would call it the Genesis principles. There are three of them. Now, you know you can go up to the church website, and you can go back and watch Pastor Archie and guest ministers and ministry. So if you miss out something during the live service, you can go and get it and receive it again by electronic technology. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read Genesis 1, 26 to 29. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed. Now this is a paraphrase of that scripture. But look at this. Look at this. The first Genesis principle is he gave you dominion and authority. The first Genesis principle is he gave you dominion and authority. I remember a couple years ago doing a family devotion with my wife, Sister Lisa, and my children, Danielle, Parmel, and DC. DC was about maybe 10 years old at that time, maybe 9 years old. And I did a devotion, and the devotion was about the subject of authority. Now, we all know that we have authorities in our life. God's our number one authority, our ultimate authority. You know, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. But then God has set in His governmental system here on earth, earthly authorities, the government of our land and law enforcement and governors and mayors and so on and so forth, the judge. There are authorities. Our parents are an authority in our children's life as we're being raised up. Different kinds of authorities. There's military authority. The root word or the word authority comes from a militant term to rank under. That's what authority means, to rank under or to come under position. And so the first principle that God established here in Genesis is the law of authority and dominion. Adam had been given authority and dominion over the entire earth, but he lost his authority and dominion. Who'd he lose it to? The devil. By his disobedience. Hello? Remember the story? We all remember that story of the tree of good and evil that God said, do not partake of. And we're having this Bible study, this devotion, and I finished the devotion. I said, now, children, what does authority mean to you? And both my girls kind of had a blank look on their face, and they're kind of thinking. I said, okay, I'll come back to you. And DC said, oh, Dad, I know the answer. I know the answer. And he's waving his hand. I said, yes, son, what does authority mean to you? He said, authority means to me, when you say something, you mean it. I said, my goodness, that's the best definition of authority I've ever heard in my life. If you say something, you mean it. When Rod says, I should have been dead, yet I live, to tell of the goodness of God, he means what he says. He doesn't just believe that, he knows it now. In his heart, God's first principle, the first spiritual law that he set up, and it's so important for us to understand, is the principle of authority and dominion. God has given us authority and dominion here in this earth. He's given us believers authority. I think it's Luke 6:10 or Luke 10:6. And Jesus said, I've given you the authority to tread upon the serpent and the scorpion and over all evil, that nothing shall harm you by any means. But do not rejoice in that, but rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, it's not enough knowing that you have authority, but you must act upon the authority. You must, when you speak, whether it's to your kids or to an employee or to someone that you're an authority in their life, you say it like you mean it. If I come here to preach to you on Sunday and this message and I spoke it, well, I'm not for sure, but maybe God has a principle for you to follow. There'd be no authority there. Oh, well. No. God doesn't act like that. When God says something, He means it. If God has spoken it, it'll be. God wants us to rise up in our authority. Take authority over the devil. Take authority over the plans of darkness. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. I cancel this work that the devil's trying to do. I take authority over it and I say, stop, no more. Get out of here. And you're not going, oh, Mr. Devil, could you please leave me alone? Lord, I'm praying, maybe if it's your will, could you help me from being beat up from this big bad devil? There's no authority there. There's no dominion there. There's fear. There's doubt and unbelief. God has given each of us authority and dominion. And in that dominion, He's given us the earth and everything within it. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I've heard different businessmen talking. And you get around some of these businessmen. Some of these businessmen they have big influence, big wealth, big businesses, big money, millions, billions. And I heard them talking in different conversations, and they're talking about their assets and how big their business is and different things. And then one time I heard a story of a little businessman was just getting started. He didn't have the millions yet. He didn't have all the big influence and so on and so forth. And he said, "My father owns my company." And the guy said, "Oh?" And he said, "Yeah, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And they said, "Who's your father if he owns that many cattle on that much real estate?" "My father is God, my father, Abba Father. God has given us dominion. We need to take back what the devil has stolen." There's a promise in the Bible says, when you walk in your authority and you walk in your dominion, you'll take back what the devil has stolen, and he's got to return it sevenfold. Woo! So if you've ever had anything stolen from you, you have the right to claim the devil, tell the devil to take his hands off of it, send ministering angels out to bring that back in sevenfold. That's good news. Hallelujah. Some of us want to support missions more. We want to go more. We want to send more. But we've had so much stolen. We've had so much taken away. You need to pray. Take your authority. Take your dominion back. Rise up and be that child of God that God has called you to be. Amen. The second one, he pronounces his blessing upon you. And God bless them. Woo! That's a good one. God bless them. Brother Copeland's got a book out. He's had it out for some time. It's entitled, "I'm Blessed to be a Blessing." My Danielle, my eldest, 19 years old, she just started. This is supernatural, God's provision and blessing. She just started last week. She's a freshman at Oral Roberts University. ORU, one of the best Christian private colleges in the country and around the world. All the professors born again. I mean, it's amazing. This college right in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just 5 miles from my house. She commutes. She doesn't even have to stay in the dorm or get the, you know, the dorm and board. That's an extra $12,000 a year. She can just stay at home with mommy and daddy for another year or two. $22,000 for 1 year. That's not including room and board at ORU. And you know what? God has provided it. Supernatural. She got half a scholarship with what they call a whole person scholarship at ORU, which is $10,000 a year for 4 years. And then she got, I forgot the government one, that I forgot what that's called, but it's another few thousand dollars. And we were $325 a month for 10 months, their payment plan. They set up an electronic draw. And the first 2 months, I had a partner over in Illinois take care of the first 2 months. This month, she had a pastor, friends of ours, Filipino pastors out in San Antonio, send 100. She had an extra 100 from her high school graduation that she pitched in. I'm pitching in the third. And so she'll have her September 1, 300 plus. And next month, it'll be a testimony every month. And it's so unique how God did it this way, because it's keeping my daughter in faith straight every month. She's got to believe God for that next tuition payment. But I can proudly say with the joy of the Lord and the peace that God has provided for my daughter to get some of the best Christian education in the world at Oral Roberts University. And so this partner over in Springfield, Illinois, Brother Andy, Pastor met him. He was here. He's a character. But he's been a faithful partner for years. He's a diamond in the rough. He works with a lot of rough people. He gets people, you know, he takes them from out of prison, from on the street, and he hires them. He puts them to work, gives them a place to stay, helps them get started in their life. And so he works with a lot of rough people, so he's kind of rough. And so he told Danielle, he said, "Call me." And so Danielle called him and said, "Listen, I want you to give me the statistics and the details of your budgeting for ORU. And so she told him the breakdown and so on and so forth. He goes, okay, I'm going to help you. He said, I'll help you with your first month's payment. Well, he told her that a while back, and she didn't do everything right away. And so 2 months went by, and they're sending her information, and they're doing electronic draw on her only little tiny savings account, which is going to be gone in another month because of that. So I said, Danielle, you're supposed to keep up with this. You're 19 years old now. This is your responsibility. God has provided, but you have a part to play here. I said, call Brother Andy and tell him what's happened. So she called him back. And he said, now, Danielle, you're messing up your budgeting and accounting. He said, I need you to be more responsible. He said, your first semester, I want you to send me your grades. And he said, I have one other requirement before I bail you out here and give you 2 months of your electronic payment to ORU. The other requirement is get a hold. I'll even give you the money to buy the book by Kenneth Copeland called Blessed to Be a Blessing. You read the book, and then when you're done reading it, you write down in one paragraph and tell me what you learned. She got off the phone. She said, Dad, in fear and trembling, Brother Andy said this and said this and said, I really have to do this, don't I? I'm like, yes, you need to do it. You have a responsibility. But I share that to tell you that if you're going to walk in the blessings of God, you have an accountability. You have an accountability. So many people are whining and complaining that they don't have enough. One of the reasons people that are whining and complaining they don't have enough is because they're not accountable. Yep. Hello? Oh, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. The Bible says you've been blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Stop whining. Hello? Pastor Chuck, why are you being so mean to me? I mean, you're telling me I can't pray that I can get a blessing? No, I didn't say that. I said stop whining when you're praying. So I told Danielle, I said, when you share about your need of $320 a month for your electronic payment for 10 months, I said, you don't share it as a need. You share it as a big testimony because you've got a big testimony. God has provided already $17,000, $18,000 for you to go to ORU, and all you have to come up with $300-something a month. I said, yeah, that's big for you, but it's not big for God. So when you talk about it, don't talk about it like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I cannot pay my bills. Woe to me. I'm such a loser. You know, I over-exaggerate, but yet there are people in church today, that's their attitude. They may not walk around like that, but they're, if you hear them on the telephone, they're always talking about, you know, never having enough. I never have enough. I'm always broke. Got holes in my pockets. Well, sew your pockets. My goodness. Well, the pastor's stepping on my feet when he preaches. Move your feet. Get tough. Don't act like a baby. Yes, we have baby Christians and they whine a lot. But what about you Christians who have been born again for 20 years? You whine more than them. Hello. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good here. We need to hear this sometimes. We're blessed to be a blessing. That's God's Genesis principle. Amen. We're blessed to be a blessing. And the third one is that he established the law of seed time and harvest. And there's the answer to those of you that have been whining. Let me say that again. Those of you that have been whining, now I hope that there's nobody here today that has that attitude. They're always saying, I never have enough, I'm broke, I never have money to pay my bills, my account's empty, I never have, I want the peso, want the peso. Give me please, give me please. Walang dollar. Now, I say that jokingly, but it's serious. If you've got a poverty mentality, that needs to be broken. You're not a sanctified beggar, and neither am I. They used to call missionaries sanctified beggars. A lot of pastors, the missionaries would come around. They say, oh, here comes the sanctified beggars. Just give him a check for $100. He'll leave you alone. No, Pastor Archie gives me checks for thousands of dollars, and I leave him alone. Glory to God. Here's the answer. It's the third Genesis principle. It's the third law. God set it down. If you have a poverty mentality, you need to get a hold of seed time and harvest. Giving and receiving, one way to say it, is sowing and reaping. Friend, if you need more money, give more money. If you need a bigger house, give a little house. If you're looking for your ship to come in, send out a little boat. Whatever seed you need, plant that seed. If you want more mangoes at harvest time, plant a mango tree. I mean, I know Filipinos back home, one mango tree, put a kid through college. Hallelujah. One little 3 square foot, Sister Lisa's Lola, little tiny area. All of the ladies out in Kapangan, in Balakbak, part of northern, you know, Luzon, or northern, northern Luzon, but it's the part of the Cordillera, part of Benguet. And she has a little area. Sister Lisa told me, she said, Lola had a green thumb. She said, she's so blessed. All the ladies in the village are jealous of her. And she said she'd have this little tiny area where she planted kamuti. And she'd only plant a couple kamuti. And then she'd have maraming kamuti, adoti kamuti. And all the ladies said, why are you getting so many kamutis? I plant also that many kamutis, but I only have few kamutis. You have plenty of kamutis. Yeah. She understood a spiritual law of seed time and harvest. She understood that it takes a seed to get a harvest. It takes planting to get reaping. God set this in place a long time ago. These are the Genesis principles. Understanding and walking in your authority and dominion. Amen. The second one, what is it? You're blessed. God said, and he blessed them. Listen, when you've been blessed by God, you're blessed. I said, when you've been blessed by God, you're blessed. Malachi, we normally go to Malachi when we're talking about tithes and offerings, says, would man rob me? Man has robbed God in tithes and offerings and giving. And he said, bring in the whole tithe into the storehouse and watch and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing that you cannot contain. And I, says the Lord, will rebuke the devourer. If God's rebuked the devourer's been rebuked. It's one thing for me to rebuke the devourer in authority and praise God, I can stop him. But if God's rebuked him, he's busted. If God's blessed you, you're blessed. The principle of seed time and harvest will break the mentality and the curse of poverty in people's lives. So these three Genesis principles, he gave you dominion and authority. Secondly, he pronounces his blessing upon you. And thirdly, he established the law of seed time and harvest. You learn how to appropriate these three spiritual laws, then no one can keep you from living a life of victory. I said no one, no devil in hell, nobody can keep you from living a life of victory. God says, if I'm for you, who can be against you? These principles still work today because God spoke them into existence. Nothing, not even Satan himself, could remove them. That's why Peter describes the word of God's as incorruptible in 1 Peter 1:23. This means once God speaks it, it's established as a law throughout eternity. And it will be seen with consistency throughout the Bible and throughout all eternity. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we can see examples of this in the Bible, then we can follow those examples today. Abraham had this blessing upon him. You can see that in Genesis 24:1, Genesis 26:1 through 12, Genesis 24:1, Genesis 26:1 through 12. And Joshua, we see Joshua walking in the authority and dominion. In Joshua 10:12 through 13, what about in the New Testament? Obviously, we see Jesus walking in the Genesis principles. But in the book of Acts, there's story after story of the apostles exercising their God-given authority over sickness, disease, and demons. And then throughout Paul's writings, we see it over and over again. He talks about both the blessing and the law of seed time and harvest. You see this in Galatians 3:13 and 14. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Galatians 6:7 and 10. I know we're giving you a lot of scriptures, but you can look them up later. Ephesians 1 and 3. Because we see the Genesis principle was applied in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we have proof and evidence that God's plan for us today is to apply those principles. Exercise your God-given authority over every attack of the enemy. Learn how to walk in the power of the blessing and appropriate the law of seed time and harvest. Then you'll live a life full of victory. This is the Genesis principle. Now, the key to act upon this Genesis principle, and I'll close with this. It's not enough to know about it. Just like your authority, it's not enough to know you have authority, but to use your authority. Act upon your authority. It's not enough to know about these Genesis principles, but to begin to apply them in your lives. Now, most of us are already applying them at one level or another. But there may be, we can apply two of them and not the third one and miss out on a big blessing. You can be blessed and have blessings and walk in blessings, but not walk in dominion and authority, then you don't have the fullness of what God has for you. This Genesis principle that I've shared with you today, it's real. It's for our lives today. To walk in dominion and authority, to walk in the blessing that God has given us. Amen? To walk in the dominion and authority, to walk in the blessings that God has given us. And the last one is walking in and understanding and applying seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. If you'll do those three things, you'll take this Genesis principle and you'll see big turnarounds in your life for the good. Amen? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now, I just want to announce again before I pray that we're going to be back here this afternoon. I think we have a pot blessing downstairs, and we have a wonderful graduation of our second Bible school class this afternoon at 3 o'clock, Pastor. Is that correct? So we want you to come back. There's going to be a wonderful service, and the Lord is going to just show up again in a big way. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father God, for this time that we could be in the house of the Lord to receive the Word of God and to learn about the Genesis principles, learn about these principles and these authorities, these truths that you've set in place, Father God. We thank you, Father, that these are spiritual laws, that when we apply them, as we apply our dominion and authority As we walk and apply the blessings of God in our lives, and as we sow, Father, I thank you that we shall reap. And Father, I thank you that there is such a wonderful plan and purpose for each and every one of us that are here. And I thank you, Father God, that all of us have been encouraged to walk out the plan of God in our lives. Now, with the congregation, every eye closed and every head bowed, just lift your hands up and repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I've heard your word today. I will not just be a hearer, but I'll be a doer of this word. I'll apply the Genesis principles. I'll walk in my authority that you've given to me. I'll exercise my dominion that you've given to me. Father, I thank you that you've blessed me indeed with all spiritual blessings. And I'm blessed to be a blessing. And Lord, I'll follow the principle of seed time and harvest. I'll be faithful with my tithes and offerings. I'll be faithful to give, especially in the areas I need to receive. I'll continue to sow the seed. And I thank you for a bountiful harvest that truly I can say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now lift your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And that was Pastor Chuck Coy on his sermon titled The Genesis Principles. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. Our email is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. And you can reach us online on our website, ffwcchicago.com. Till next time, take care and God bless. Bye.